Take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We have been looking at separation in the Bible, and it's an issue once again. I don't want to go over it every time we start the lesson, but separation, when I got saved in the 80s, it was common to hear messages on separation. It was a title. Now you don't hardly hear it anymore because people in our society, they don't want to be told no. They don't want to have, they don't want restrictions. Look, God's word isn't supposed to, whatever God tells me no about, it's not God trying to keep fun from me. It's God trying to protect me, right? If God tells me not to have sex outside of marriage, it's for my protection, right? God's trying to protect. Now, it's my choice to obey, but whatever God tells me to get away from, like we've looked at addiction, we looked at drug addiction, we looked at several things. This morning, we're going to look at a topic that I don't know that our church struggles with. Since I've been here, I think in 8 years, I think there have been four people, separate times, that have gone out to their car and smoked a cigarette in between Sunday school and church. Okay, or right after church, they had to run out to their car to do that. Haven't had it happen a whole lot here, and in the South, where you have Southern Baptists, they don't, because you know, I think I've seen one tobacco barn here. I know Maryland is considered the South. We're south of the Mason-Dixon line, but I think I've seen one tobacco barn here. In the South, you see, that's where they dry tobacco leaves. Okay, you clip the leaves, then you dry them, and you do all that jazz. It's real prevalent in the South, and in a lot of churches in the South. There's a lot of smoking going on before Sunday school, and there's a lot of smoking going on in between church and Sunday school and after. And they don't smoke in church, but when you get people from Southern Baptist churches and they're from the South, they're used to, man, everybody goes outside, smokes before Sunday school, and it looks, you know, and then they come inside and then they come in, and that's just the way everybody is. Nobody speaks against smoking. And so, I don't think it doesn't have to be an area-wide thing. I'm just trying to let you know here, we haven't really struggled with it. I will say in Tennessee, when we were in a church in Tennessee, yeah, I would say we struggled with it. It was like, to be in leadership here, to be a church member, you just have to be saved and baptized. Okay, that's biblical. But if you want to be in leadership, like if you want to be a Sunday school teacher, or if you want to be a bus captain or things like that, leadership in the church requires some standards. And one of the standards is you can't be addicted to cigarettes. You say why? Because you'd be around kids and they're going to watch you. You don't want to pass that on. Well, I said that to say here we haven't had anybody not be able to get involved because they smoked cigarettes. In Tennessee, I told this story as I was introducing the lesson Wednesday night, but I used to go soul winning with a man. He and his wife, sweetest people in the church, led to the Lord, right when the church started. And they were the Dunkles, and they just, that was their last name, had two precious little kids. You couldn't ask for sweeter people, but both of them had been smoking since they were 11 years old, and now they're in their 30s. And when you say, and boy, they wanted to get, but boy, you want, if you wanted to go soul winning, I went with Brother Dunkel. He was in a little, remember those little Chevy Love pickups, those hiccup trucks, okay, not pickup trucks. And I remember on soul winning night, I'd get in the truck with Brother Dunkel, and you couldn't ask for a more aggressive, funner soul winner to go with. We'd go and he'd see somebody down the street and he would pull his emergency brake on his pickup truck and come to a screeching stop like this. And then he'd open up his door and say, hey, can I talk to you about the Lord? And I mean, he was fun to be around. He was an aggressive soul, but he would tell me in tears, I'm just struggling quitting. I'm having a hard time. I wish I could be a Sunday school teacher, but they knew they're smoking, both of them. And one time we were in church and he came up to me, said, Brother Nash, would you pray with me? I want to overcome this smoking. And he'd weep at the altar. So have we had that here? We haven't struggled as a church with that here. Okay. So I said that to say this morning's lesson, I think, is very helpful. And I'm going to end it with how you can help somebody else, but it is something that should be taught. I told our Sunday school teachers, every child this morning should hear smoking cigarettes is bad. And it should be taught in the home. Smoking is bad. And that's especially in a Christian home. You don't put things in your lungs other than oxygen. Amen. So you'll notice something too on this subject. We'll get into the Bible here in just a second. You'll notice something on this subject since 2004. A crackdown has happened on the smoking industry where they've like really started to, like when I was growing up, I remember people smoking everywhere. Now they've restricted it, you know, really enforced no smoking in this restaurant, no smoking and things like that. Since 2004 or 5, right around there is when they really started cracking down on the smoking industry. And so smoking has been on the decline. You say, okay, well, that's a good thing. Well, guess what? The devil always has a substitute. Guess what's on the increase? Guess what started around about that same time? Vaping. Well, your average, you say, now here, so this is what we deal with. This is what we deal with the teenagers. Because remember when it first came out, there was no age restriction on e-cigarettes, electric cigarettes. So a junior hire could go, a 12-year-old could go into a gas station and buy the liquid or the machine or whatever it was to a 12-year-old. There was no age restriction. And if you want to know how much that affected the public school, 42% of teens in St. Mary's County have tried electronic vapor products within just the 30 days prior to taking the survey. So it's an issue. It's a big issue. You say, well, see, here's the selling point, okay? Here's the selling point. Well, a cigarette has a lot more nicotine than vaping. So if you vape, it's better for you than cigarettes. And that is just the way they sell gambling, right? It'll bring this much money in, but they never tell you how much it'll cost in bankruptcies. They never tell you what it'll cost in prostitution and drugs and underground. But they'll say, see, this is what it'll benefit your community. You know, you're always told the positive and never the negative. Here's the negative. Ready? When people smoke a cigarette, it takes between 2 and 5 minutes, a cigarette. Depending on how they're sucking it, okay? And really, they don't smoke. They're just suckers. Okay, never mind. that's ridiculous. Okay, so when people smoke a cigarette, it takes 2 to 5 minutes. They're vaping for 20 minutes till the chemical runs out and little bugaboo, whatever. Man, can't you tell people when they're vaping when you're going down the road? Before, you couldn't tell when people are smoking cigarettes, but man, when they crack their window, guy in front, man, this huge, I mean, I don't know how they see while they're driving this huge cloud comes out. When people vape, even though there's less nicotine in the vape because they're doing it 5 times longer, they're getting 4 times the nicotine of a cigarette. But that's the selling point. Well, there's less nicotine, but they're not being told everything. So now we're dealing with young people who have spotted lung, which is irreversible. It is killing people because the vitamin E, when it goes into the smoke content, kills the lungs. Okay? So there's a lot, all the flavors that they do. There's like, how many flavors? There's 7,700 flavors of e-cigarettes. Good grief. As if 10 wasn't enough. You know what I mean? 7,000 flavors. Those flavors, they use oils to create the flavors, and those oils coat the lungs, and they're doing more damage than the nicotine. So I guess I said to say, smoking appears to be on the decline, has been for about the past, you could almost say 20 years. It's been the number of people smoking is on the decrease, but the number of people vaping is on the increase. All in the name of it's better and it's safer and all that garbage. Okay. A verse that comes to mind. Here we go. When somebody asks me about smoking, and I have had people come to me and ask help, and I think I should, I hope after a Sunday school lesson like this, if God brings somebody to our church with a smoking habit, you would know how to help them if they wanted help. Can you say, go see pastor? Yes, you can. But I would hope you could have the love and the help. Maybe they're like the Dunkles. Maybe they've been smoking since they're 11 and they've never heard smoking's bad. They had the idea, but let's face it, when I was in the Marine Corps, guys said they smoked for one reason. Nicotine gives you a nice high. They smoke for the high. You say, well, it's not like marijuana. No, but nicotine, just the fact, if all you knew was nicotine is a poison, one teaspoon of nicotine. Now, there's not that in a cigarette. It's less. But one teaspoon of nicotine will kill an adult. Nicotine is in rat poison. Look on the containers of rat poison. Okay? So if that's all you knew, how could you put something in your body that limits it? Somebody said, show me in the Bible where it says, thou shalt not smoke. I can't. It's not in there. Show me where it says, thou shalt not light up a cigarette. I can't show you that. But what I can show you is 1 Corinthians 3. Look at verse 16. Ready? Look at verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Go ahead and look at chapter 6. We'll come back to chapter 3 in just a second. It says verse 19, 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Jesus paid for you with his blood. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now go back to chapter 3 and look at verse 17. Ready? So everybody, you got to get the first concept is you are the dwelling place of God. Your body is what is indwelled by God when you get saved. God comes inside you to live. He lived in the, we had the tabernacle picture. We'll have to put that up again. Okay. I always go, see, in the Old Testament, never mind, there's nothing there. in the Old Testament, the dwelling place of God so he could dwell with his people was the tabernacle. In the New Testament, you're the dwelling place of God. God comes inside you to live. Now look what God says about your body in verse 17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. It's talking about your body. If you do things to hurt where God dwells, you should view, that's why we clothe the body. For decency, right? Because your body's holy. That's why we don't pierce the body. That's why the Bible teaches, and this is later, we don't tattoo the body. We don't, you know, God says that is things lost people do, right? So when you get saved, you realize your body is your body's holy. This is where God dwells, and God says if anybody hurts their body, the temple of God, him will God destroy. Now, here's what's interesting. It's not when you decide to smoke or vape or do drugs or drink alcohol that you are destroyed. I know my wife's uncle died of cirrhosis of the liver. He was a drunk in Nashville, in Tennessee. But when you pick things, when you choose to put things in your body that destroy your body, God allows you to destroy yourself. If all, boy, to watch, you know, in enough nursing homes that I've been in, I've seen people sitting in wheelchairs, sucking on oxygen. You go up to them, "Hi, I'm Pastor Nash." And one of the most terrifying things to me as a pastor has been being introduced to somebody who has a tracheotomy, right? So they had cancer in the throat, but they've been smoking so long they can't give it up. So they're sitting there with their talking machine. "Hi, it's good to see you. Thank you for coming here." And then they put the cigarette next to their throat and they inhale it. And then they go back. That is bondage at like its ultimate level. That's the devil's deception. If you'll do what your flesh wants to do. Why do people smoke? Several reasons. One of them is the high. When you put nicotine in your body, it causes the vessels to restrict, heart rate goes up, all of that stuff, and it's an acceleration, and people get used to that high. So they do it for the feeling, because it makes me feel good. But, here we go. God says when you hurt the body, somebody said, "Show me where smoking's wrong in the Bible." 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17 is where I would go. Where does it say smoking is sin? It doesn't. It gives you Bible principle. There's a Bible principle in the body, in the Bible. You only have one body. That's why I suggest you take care of it. That's why I suggest, does God speak against gluttony? Sure. But why should you practice good dietary habits? And why should you, because you only have one body to serve God. And when you're done and you're lying in a bed and you can't move, you can't serve God. You'll exist until you die. Right? And watch this. Your family will love you and pray for you, and we'll love you and pray for you. But we can't help you because your body's gone. Does that make sense to everybody? I'm not trying to be morbid as much as that's why you should want to. Here we go. The thought of why would you put anything in your lungs other than oxygen? Well, there's two reasons. Because I like the high. And number two, I'll get into it later, but smoking is always tried because of peer pressure. It's just like alcohol. Nobody ever picked up a glass of whiskey and drunk it, not with nobody around. With nobody, I mean, I'm talking their first. The first time they did it, it was peer pressure. And if there wouldn't have been anybody around, they wouldn't have kept on drinking. Because nobody would have found a glass of whiskey and went, "Wow, can't wait to drink that again." Do you know why they put it in their mouth again? Because they were trying to impress the people they were with. The same thing is true with smoking. Nobody ever found a smoldering cigarette with nobody else around. Right? Remember, my mom used to talk about when they smoked corn husk for the first time in the barn. You always do it with your cousins, right? If you don't know what smoking corn husk, bow your head and pray right now and thank the Lord you don't know what I'm talking about. But they would smoke corn husks in the barn, but it was always with peer pressure. Well, here I'm doing it, so you do it. I don't care if it's corn husks or if it's cigarettes. Nobody ever picked up a cigarette and dragged on it the first time. And I mean, here, you want me? That's good. Nobody ever did that. Was that too dramatic? That was too dramatic, wasn't it? Okay, we went too far. We're back now to normal. All right. I am trying to say there's two reasons people damage their body. One is alcohol makes them high. OK, Okay? Drugs make them high. The other reason is peer pressure, because the crowd's doing it. And if I could teach you in Ephesians 1:6, we're accepted in the beloved. Here, watch this. We'll dive into the rest of the lesson. Well, go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Go over a couple of books. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Verse I think you ought to think about. You ought to be marked in your Bible. It ought to determine and affect your decisions. But look at Galatians 1:10. It says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men?" The last phrase, "For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." As long as you're interested in making the crowd happy and people around you, you can't serve the Lord. Do you like me? What do you think? Is this okay? As long as you're interested in pleasing other people, you can't serve the Lord. You'll always be a slave to the crowd. That's one of the blessings of Christianity, is when you get saved, I don't have to live for them anymore. Amen? I can now live for the Lord. But as long as I'm trying to make everybody happy around me and seeking their approval and their acceptance, that tells me this. You know what I used to tell the teenagers? Until you start walking with God and learning God loves you and enjoying that, you'll always be controlled by this. You've got to learn to love the Lord and walk with God and enjoy the fact God loves you now that you're saved, right? And quit trying to make everybody happy, because you can't. If I pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I have told people, as far as smoking or vaping is the slowest form of suicide known to mankind. And I've already told you the story that it, how do you die of when you smoke? Emphysema. Period. You smoke long enough, you die. There are quicker ways of leaving this world. To suffocate, my grandpa suffocated, my grandpa Nash. And now he smoked in the Navy, he stopped, but then he got a disease in his lungs. And I remember him when a couple of months before we visited him at Christmas, and he would lay there in that bed, and just the thought of, you could hear him breathe all the way across the house. And just to suffocate and not get enough air to where finally you die for lack of oxygen. Yuck. If somebody said, I wish they advertised it, on the cigarettes, put a picture of the guy in the chair, on oxygen, saying, here, if you want to die like this, smoke these, and they won't do that because the devil's a liar, right? But here, go to Romans 14:23. Let me just show you something, and then we'll just touch on a few more things here, and I'll give you some things to try to help. Romans chapter 14. And look at the last phrase of chapter 14 in verse 23. Okay, Romans chapter 14. I'll read the whole verse, but watch this. "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." If somebody has to ask, is smoking a sin? The fact that they had to ask the question should tell you it's wrong. Because God says if you can't do it in faith, it's sin. Let me turn that around. The old statement. It's not a cliche, but if it's doubtful, it's what? It's dirty. So if it's doubtful, well, does God want me to do this or not? Joe Boyd, he played for Texas A&M in the 50s. He got saved, big football player, and him and Jack Hiles went to the same church, and both of them surrendered, to preach at the same time. And Joe Boyd I got to lead songs for him for a couple of revivals. And I remember him preaching going, he was so neat to hear preach, but he'd go, when I used to give up cigarettes, he said, I didn't see anything wrong with smoking. He said, and I went to light up my cigarette. And my wife said, why don't you pray before you smoke? And I said, I certainly will. She said, you're going to ask God to bless that cigarette? I said, I sure am. He said, I bowed my head. I got ready to ask the Lord to bless the cigarette before I lit it. And God told me, if you ask me to bless that, I'm going to bust you on your head. Whatsoever you do, in other words, glorify God in your body and your, is what you're doing blessable? Could you pray before you inject that drug in your arm? Could you pray before you take that drink of whiskey? Dear God, bless this to my body. No, you can't. Could you pray before you light up that cigarette? No, you can't. So it's unblessable. Amen. So, here, if it's doubtful, the very fact that the question has to be asked, is there something wrong with smoking? That means it's doubtful and it's dirty. We do know, go to 1 Corinthians 6:12. 1 Corinthians 6:12. Can I tell you something? I've taught this for years. It's a lot easier teaching this in a church where people aren't struggling with smoking than it is when they are. Because my heart goes out to them. They say the hardest part about smoking is it takes all of your body to quit. They said the worst, but many people who've smoked and got off it said the worst part of smoking is coming off of the cigarettes. I mean, the shakes and the headaches and the withdrawal is awful. Okay. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. I hope it's a verse that's marked in your Bible, but it says here, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That's why addiction is wrong. To be addicted to anything is wrong. There's nobody that should be controlling you but the Lord, right? But I remember, you know, in boot camp in Marine Corps, nobody could smoke in the Marine Corps boot camp, but in Army boot camp at the time in the 80s, they could. And so my friend told me about when he was in Army boot camp, they couldn't smoke in the chow hall. So all the guys that smoked would go in there, eat their meal real quick, and all go out into formation. And then the drill instructor would come out and say, light them up. And he said, all the guys were out there just like this. I mean, waiting for the command. Then, and then I think they had like a minute or something to smoke. And then he'd say, put them out, you know, and that's all they got. He said to watch those guys addicted. The shaking, the waiting, living for it. I, as a Christian, now that's the way the world lives. That's all they know, right? They live for the peer pressure. They live for the next moment. We're not supposed to be brought under the power of any. It's supposed to be a theme of our Christianity. God controls me, not other things, right? So not drugs, not alcohol. There's nothing I have to have but the Lord. Amen. So it's a good principle to live by. You're in chapter, 1 Corinthians 6. Look at chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. The apostle Paul said, but I keep under my body, and that's a way of saying I keep my body under control, okay, and bring it, my body, into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. As a Christian, I'm supposed to tell my body what to do. My body doesn't tell me what to do, right? But when I was lost, my body said, do this, have this, go here. Now that I'm saved, I'm supposed to tell my body what to do. My body doesn't tell me what to do. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be directing my life, not my lusts and desires and wants, right? Oh, I want this now. Oh, I want this now. God says, don't let your flesh control you. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay. If I told you, we've looked at smoking. I know I'm preaching to the choir, and I'm glad I am. Because like I said, I've taught this lesson, and I've had people who were struggling with smoking crying while I taught. My heart went out to them. They wanted to quit. They were struggling. It's nice teaching a lesson like this, and you say, okay, now that we know this, number one, I think we should be teaching our kids this. They should hear smoking is bad. Okay? All of that. Now, if somebody is smoking, how can you help them quit? Because I don't care if it's, I know drug addiction's a little different. Alcoholism is a little different, but how to quit smoking. Before honor comes pride, and James chapter 4 and chapter 5 start with humility. It's amazing what humility will get you in the Christian life. If you humble yourself before God, He lifts you up. He strengthens you. He helps you. It's like every turning point in the Christian life starts with humility. What is it about that you wish would change? Then start with telling God you're sorry. Amen? It starts with me humbly coming. That's how you got saved, right? You humbled yourself. I can't save myself. I have no ability. God, you're my only hope. Okay, that's how you got saved. How do you grow in the Christian life? The same way. You humble yourself, and there's plenty of verses we could go to on this, but I'm just trying to make time this morning. But humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the lowly, grace to go forward, grace to keep on growing in the Lord. God says, if you'll just humble yourself. So everything starts with humility. Every change in the Christian life starts with humility. If smoking is it, and you're saying, I want to overcome smoking, or if somebody's needing to, you teach them. You got to come to God humbly. And number one, admit smoking's a sin. It's a sin what I'm doing. It's not an oops. It's not a oversight. It's a sin. Admit smoking's a sin. Number two, confess it's God's will that you quit smoking. Tell God in prayer, Lord, I know you want me to quit. Amen. And I know what I'm doing is sinful. Okay. What do they always say? Helping somebody, if you can just get them to admit what they're doing is wrong, you've got half the battle. Amen. Well, taking it to God in prayer. Confess to God it's God's will that you quit smoking. Then ask God to forgive you. See smoking as a sin. Then forsake it. The thing I've seen through the years as a pastor, when somebody tries to give up smoking, I will let you know cold turkey works a lot better than the, you know, I smoke a pack this week and now I'll smoke half a pack next week. I'll just let you know I watched people for years and it doesn't work. Maybe one that's tried, but most of it, you forsake it. You just get rid of it. In other words, you can't keep it around and expecting to stop it, right? Well, I got a pack in my pocket here, but I'm only going to smoke half of it this week. Okay. I'm just letting you know it doesn't work. You've got to forsake it. Get rid of it. Then memorize verses on courage and strength and temptation. If you want one, see me about these, but I've probably done that more as a pastor. I'm trying to give up smoking. What would you do? I go to my computer and I've got sheets that I can print off on verses on smoking. Well, what are they? We know smoking's not in the Bible. They're verses on God will help you with temptation. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:16 would be on there. Okay, we've already looked at that. Memorize the verse. Him that destroyeth the temple, he that defileth the temple, him will God destroy. Verses on temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You can do this, right? You can do this. Memorize 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now, I struggled with tobacco when I got saved, but it wasn't smoking, it was dipping. But I was addicted to the nicotine. You say, well, that's a lot. Okay, I will agree. That was a lot. It was a struggle, but it was a lot easier than to give up than smoking when I got saved. So memorize verses on courage, strength, and strengthen your spirit. Then you can always fast. And if you want a verse for this, you could put Isaiah 58. What's that teach? When you're struggling with the chains of wickedness in your life and there's a habit that you can't break, fasting has always been something that is a tool for Christians. It helps you break the bonds of wickedness. So when there's a habit that you can't break, fasting is where you stop eating and you pray in place of your eating. You go and dismiss yourself. You don't eat lunch. You don't eat breakfast. You fast. And all, just so everybody knows, you can fast for a day, but just so you know, I heard one person say, well, when I fast, I get headaches. Everybody gets headaches when they fast. There's no such thing as somebody that doesn't get a headache. You know why? Because we got so much stuff in the foods we eat. The first 3 days, you get a headache. Then your body goes into autophagy, and then your body starts getting power from different things other than the food you're eating, and it starts cleansing itself. That's why there's health benefits to fasting. But that's health spiritually. Fasting is a wonderful way to break habits. Say, I'm just struggling with this, and I can't stop. Then Isaiah 58 teaches fast. Why would I teach you this? Remember how we started this lesson? I don't know that we're struggling with this. If you smoke, God bless you. I'll pray for you. Let me know. But I don't know that we struggle with this in the church. I don't know of anybody that struggles with this. But if God did bring somebody to our church and they were struggling, look, they're embarrassed. Okay. The four people that we've had here, that's why they went out to their car and then they open up the door and then they sit in their car and they smoke and they hope nobody sees them. And you know, you don't go out and wave at them. Hey, church is getting ready to start. They're like, you know, that's why they're out there. They're embarrassed. So could you help somebody and encourage them through their struggle if God does bring somebody like that to our church? Right? So I'm giving you these here. Final two things. How can you quit smoking? A list of 8 things. Replacement. When somebody's trying to quit rock music, you don't gradually put in Christian music. You get rid of the rock music and you put good music in its place. It's called the doctrine of replacement. Well, if you're going cold turkey, which is really the most successful way of stopping smoking, and you're forsaking it, then you need something to replace it. So instead of carrying the cigarettes in your pocket, you get a New Testament. When you reach for your cigarettes, it always is after you eat, you know, it's always after a meal. So, I'm not going to smoke a cigarette. I'm going to read my Bible. Amen. Do something that you've heard pack of gum, right? I'm not going to smoke cigarettes. I'm going to chew gum. Okay. One guy, I only laugh because it's funny. Okay. Not because it's really mean, but sometimes mean things are funny. I remember on the second day, one guy that I was helping was trying to, and praise the Lord, he got to give up smoking, but he said, I'm doing the gum thing. I'm doing the gum. And so after he'd open up like 3 packs of gum. And when he would chew it, it was like, and that went on for about a week and a half. And praise the Lord, he finally slowed down. But it was funny. I was like, can I have a stick of gum? You want 3? No, 1 will be fine. You could use the doctrine of replacement, encourage them to replace. And then finally, one guy fined himself whenever he smoked. And he says, I know it's a sin. I'm trying to give it up. If I fudge, if I sin, I'm going to give missions $20. So he fined himself for every cigarette that he would smoke outside. You know, where your heart is, you know, there your where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay, Jesus made our heart linked to our money. And so one guy said, he said, okay, whenever I smoke, a cigarette is $20 to missions. Well, if there's 20 cigarettes in a case, he'd go, each case is worth $400 to missions. And needless to say, the money was a motivator. So he fined himself, okay? Some don't have to go that far, but I'm trying to give you ways. If the Lord gave us somebody at our church, could you encourage them and help them and pray for them and bless them while they struggle? Because it is a struggle. It is a struggle. We looked up smoking, and we'll probably deal with the generation. Jesus tarries, we will probably deal with vaping much more than we will deal with smoking. So, and that's sad. That's sad, but that's our society, and that's the day we live. And God bless every one of you. I hope this is a help. Let's go ahead and get this room set up for...